Today is now the time to get out of property. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one of the latest posts covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Well, the markets look to be a little bit stronger than previously, but even some mainstream economists are now talking about a 30% fall in property in Australia. So, of course, that begs the question, what should you do? Well, to discuss that, I'm joined by author and economist Harry Dent. Hello, Harry. Good to see you once again.
Yeah, nice to be back, Martin.
So, been a busy old week. Jerome Powell making some big comments, and the market's still looking quite buoyant.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the stock market got way ahead of itself. I was lucky. I put out an update on Tuesday saying there's no way the market can go higher here with the death rates going up and cases, particularly in America and the UK, not in Australia, obviously. And of course, the markets have been more down ever since, so that's good. And there was a guy, Simon Reed from Australia. He's a trader there, has a book called The Death of Trading. He put out a chart showing that the speculators, who are almost always wrong, not the commercials and the smart money, but the dumb money on 30-year treasury bonds are more bearish than ever, which means they think rates are going up and inflation's going up. They're not seeing the deflation shock that we're talking about. And I'm like, this is really good, because if rates go down, that's going to mean that you know, the economy's slowing. We have more deflation despite all this money printing, and that is going to sock it to gold. And I just can't wait for gold to finally go down again, so people get it doesn't matter how much money you print. It doesn't matter if it's not going into consumers and banks and stuff, and it's just going into financial assets. It doesn't cause price inflation. It causes asset inflation. And that's what people should be worrying about, their real estate and their stocks and even their gold going down. So I hope that's right. But I love contrary indicators like that where this is the most short or bearish they've ever been on treasury bonds. And boy, that says something.
Well, I spoke to Robert Kiyosaki in the week. His show's up on my channel. And he said, Harry Dent is probably one of the best for seeing the future. He says, I don't know how you do it, Harry, but you do it really. So he's very much on song with you, apart from gold, of course.
Yeah. You know, and this is a fortunate thing, because you and I are going to be speaking at a big online live stream conference on May 24th in Australia. We were supposed to have, by GoCo, a full-out public conference live in May. I was supposed to come out there. You were supposed to be there. And we were trying to get Robert Kiyosaki to come out. Now, unfortunately, he could not make it in May. So because of the virus, you know, having to do this, we're going to do a full day. It's going to be like 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. And it's going to be me and you and Robert Kiyosaki and Sean Allison, who's really great at showing people how to make money in up and down markets with very targeted, simple option plays, not complicated trading stuff. And some other people on, you know, how to protect your assets. Everybody wants, the government wants to come after you more, and people want to sue you more, especially if you have money. So this is going to be a full day thing of what we would have done over 2 days, and I don't have to travel to Australia and get the jet lag, which I'm happy about. Although, I always like to come to Australia. I've been coming twice a year recently, but I like to come at least once. So this is fortunate in a way, because we can get Robert onto this live stream webinar as well and really have a full thing. I tell people what I like about Robert. I mean, everybody knows Robert. He has one of the classic insights of all time, and the biggest personal finance author ever, you know. But he is the only mainstream expert, and I know you get this in Australia. Nobody mainstream, no mainstream economist, no mainstream politician, nobody in the real estate industry or in the financial securities or broker is going to say what we're saying. Robert gets it. Robert sees this as the crash of our lifetime as well. So that is very rare to see somebody that mainstream. So I thought it's really good for people to hear it from him as well, You know, you've got the view on real estate, particularly in Australia, and you know, it is a unique real estate market. But and people always say, Harry, you don't understand Australian real estate. And seriously, I've always told people, I feel like Australia and California, where I spent most of my adult career, are two very similar markets. And I feel like those two markets are more similar than, say, California and the Northeast or New York, or California and Florida and Texas. My God, Texas is still affordable after growing like crazy. Because and if you've ever been to Texas, it's just flat land forever. Green grass, flat land. The joke there is you can watch your dog run away all day. You know, it's that flat. And it really is. So there's no shortage of land for development there. And it's a very pro-business state and low tax and all this sort of stuff. So I feel like Australia and California are very similar. And one of the things I tell people, Martin, in Australia, because, you know, your strong suit is your Asian immigration, high quality immigration in high numbers. And those people are all looking for the same thing. They're looking to invest in an English speaking country with a good education system where their kids can learn English and get that education. So they're looking at, of course, Australia, New Zealand, Singapore, United States, and the UK. That's the main places they're looking. So let's say Australians get their dream like last time in the GFC, and you guys don't have much of a real estate downturn, and yet the United States and the UK and Singapore and all these other overvalued places do. What does that say to Asian immigrants? Well, why don't we go to California, where we can now get a more affordable house? Because San Francisco, Sydney and Melbourne, Vancouver in Canada, that's the other English-speaking country they're attracted to, and Toronto and London are all in the kind of the same basket of the most overvalued English-speaking cities, the most overvalued cities in the developed world outside of China and Hong Kong, which is a developed enclave in China. So if for some reason you do escape this, which I am saying, and I know you're saying you're not going to escape it this time. I'm telling you, there isn't a chance in Hades you're going to escape this downturn. It just may not be quite as bad. I think it will be closer to what the U.S. has this time, because we got whacked last time. I think Canada is going to have more than both of us, but Australia and the U.S. But if you do escape it, it's going to be to your disadvantage. So look. You got too much real estate. You got some real estate you don't need, a vacation home and some rental properties and some commercial real estate for crying out loud. Can't, you know, be safe and hedge your bets. Get out of this stuff. You can rebuy it better and have better chances. So obviously that, my theme is a global. This is a global downturn. It's a deleveraging and deflation of all financial assets, which I estimate, there's so many different angles on it. I know there's $360 trillion in total global wealth. There's estimates of $330 plus towards that in just financial assets, not counting real estate and on, but it's a lot of assets. And in a deleveraging like this, they can go down 30% minimum, 50%. That's $120 to $180 trillion. In wealth, which is real money to people. You can borrow against your house or sell your house. You can take money out of your stock brokerage account or your, you know, that's real money that people could spend. It's going to disappear. So how are we not going to have a deep global downturn? And how are not these financial asset bubbles in other countries going to spill even into Australia, where your demographics are more favorable, but hey, your stock market's way overvalued like everybody else. Your real estate's second only to China. So, you know, I know that this is the most important time, I think, to come out here, because I feel like we just have the summer after this first crash, which is a confirmation to me. You know, I've been waiting for years for this damn bubble to burst because governments keep pumping up. But I said, you know, it's going to burst. You know, it has started when you get a first crash. That's like not 20%, not even 30 quite. But closer to 40%, that's when you know it's over. You don't recover from that. So we've got, to me, this summer to rejuggle our assets. And so we're going to come out with you, me, and Robert, and just all the guns, and Sean, every good person we know two from Australia and two from the States, to tell people, look, get serious about your financial assets. And in Australia, the most financial assets in your net worth, unlike the U.S., is in real estate. Even your superannuation is more exposed to real estate than you think, or that you know. But even if you don't know, than you think. U.S. people are nowhere near as exposed to real estate. So especially in Australia, real estate. So I know that's why. I mean, you're the most important speaker for this one to me, Martin.
Well, I appreciate that, Harry. Look, and it's interesting, CBA came out this last week, right, one of the big four here, and said, you know, their view was that the likely scenario is an 11% correction in prices, but they also put on the table a 32% fall in home prices over the next couple of years. 32%. That's the first time that one of the big guys has actually come out with that sort of fall. People were talking about 20% or 15% before that. This is now getting really, really serious, right? Now, there's a few people that are still saying, no. It'll go higher because the central banks will just pump more liquidity in, et cetera, et cetera. But we are so over-leveraged and we are so exposed to property that the risks now are ginormous, right? So people have got to take this seriously. And now is the time to really reflect hard on your portfolio and, you know, what you're going to do, because you've got to protect yourself. And, you know, Robert says it, you says it, and I'm saying it too. This is the most important time to make the right decisions.
It is. It's the crash of a lifetime. And conversely, if you play it right, it's the investment or the sale on financial assets of a lifetime. Businesses, you could buy out your competitors out of bankruptcy a couple years from now for 10, 20 cents on the dollar and all their assets and take their customers and their technology equipment and everything. You could sell stocks at the top of this bubble, you know, when the ASX 200 is at 7,200 at the top, and buy stocks when it's down to, you know, 2,000 or something or lower. But, you know, one of the things I stress, just to put it in context for Australians and why real estate is so important in Australia, the net worth of in the U.S. that's in real estate is a little less than 30%. It was a little more before our first crash, but it's at 30%. It is 67% in Australia. And that's not counting what you got in your superannuation exposed. I mean, that's just your homes and ownership. In China, it's 75%. And the other thing I stress, particularly for Australia, you're so close to China. They're your biggest customer. China is definitely, without a doubt, I will shoot myself if this does. I won't just move to the Gold Coast and become a limo driver. If I'm wrong about China, I'll just put a gun to my head, because they have the greatest real estate bubble, the most leverage. And it's different to have a real estate bubble when you have a lot of empty real estate than when it's full, like in Australia, United States. We don't have empty real estate in the States, and you guys certainly don't in Australia, because it's scarce. You know, it's hard to build enough for the demand. So that, I mean, that really should tell you how exposed. And the banks in Australia, what I've heard, 75% exposure to residential commercial real estate. Oh my God. I mean, so your banks otherwise and your economy otherwise will hold up better, although you already have mass unemployment like we do, but it's not going to be as deep a downturn, I don't think, for Australia overall. But that bank exposure tells you, oh my gosh, there, I mean, we don't have, I don't know what the bank exposure in the U.S. I haven't looked up that lately, but I can guarantee it's probably less than 50%.
Yeah, it's closer to about 40 to 45, Harry, is what I think at the moment over there. I mean, we are just so exposed here. And the worry, of course, is that the state and federal governments are trying to still turn the construction and real estate knobs up to 11, right, to try and actually recover from the current dip. So, unfortunately, we haven't learned anything yet. The other point to make there is actually, according to the latest surveys from the ABS, we have 1 million vacant properties across Australia. So it's not like we've actually got an undersupply.
Okay, that's a lot in Australia.
Yeah, it is. It's huge. And people have just, you know, forgotten about that. Now, obviously, some of those aren't in where you would like them to be. But the point is, we've got 250,000 new buildings going on at the moment. So new units. So there's still more being built even now. So this whole equation is completely nutty.
You know, and one of the things, because I traveled a lot until this year. Last time I was in Miami, I was living in Miami for the first bubble, and I sold at the top. I forecast that bubble in my newsletter. That's one of my big credits, because people just didn't think real estate. We had never seen a downturn like you of any significance, except in California in the early 90s or something. So people just couldn't see it. But I saw the cranes. The cranes were more than double this time in Miami. I was in London about a year and a half ago. Oh, my God, cranes everywhere there. And, of course, the last time I was in Australia, which was more recent, within the last year, everywhere I went, cranes, cranes, cranes. That, I'm telling you, it may sound simple. That is always an indicator. They always build the most in the last stages of the bubble, which gives you that excess capacity to already add insult to injury to a downturn in the economy that's going to weaken demand anyway. And now you got excess capacity. And I'll tell you, I'm in Puerto Rico. Here's my plan. I don't plan to stay in Puerto Rico forever. It's favorable for taxes. But, you know, the older I get, the more I want to be back down the street from what I call the Miami Heart Institute. and so maybe in 5-7 years, we want to be back in Miami. I am just chomping at the bit because Miami, it's not as overpriced as Manhattan or San Francisco, but it's more bubbly. It's more a bubble city. It's fueled by drug money from South America and all that. I mean, people come in buying bags and cash like Chinese and Australian stuff. And so it goes down the most. I am literally waiting to buy a top, like a $4 million condo for $1 million. I mean, 75 or 80% off. And then, you know, move back there years from now. I wouldn't buy in Puerto Rico because I don't see staying here forever. And we don't have a big bubble in Puerto Rico. And they've been in a recession long term. So it depends on everybody and what you're doing. But I always stress, you know, in fact, every time I get on a media thing, I was on Peter Schwitzer that day. Doomsayer Harry Dent. I'm like, Peter, grow up. I've been bullish almost all my career. You know, this is one bubble. Yes, I've been early forecasting it because nobody thought people would print so much and continue to do such insane stuff. But I've been bullish my whole career. I was the only guy that saw this bubble before it happened and the baby boomers coming in the first place back to the 1980s. But big boom, big bubble, big bust. And again, it's not like I'm quoting something back from 1720 South Seas bubble of 1929 to 32. Japan had this whole scenario before we did because their baby boom came 15 years, a decade and a half before the US and Europe and Australia. They had their baby boom. They drove their economy. They have limited land for development like Australia and high standard of living. They bubbled up big time real estate and stocks, and they crashed. And real estate went down in Japan 60 to 70% by two different estimates, residential, commercial, 80%. And unlike Australia in the future, and I think more like coming out for the US and Europe, particularly Europe, they never bounced. 30 years later, it's never bounced because the older baby boomers there are dying faster than the younger millennials. Their millennial generation is way smaller than Australia, and it's substantially smaller than the United States and more like Europe's. On a lag. So I don't think Europe ever sees a real estate return substantially. US, I don't think will ever get to the prices we've seen now. I don't even think Australia will get back to the highs in recent times, only because you will have one more net demand wave up, only into the mid 2020s, not terribly long before it starts to weaken again. Doesn't weaken like the US or Japan or other areas. But you will never see, after a bubble like this crashes, you'll never see, you know, a bubble come right back. People will be sobered. And so this is really a good time to get out of long-term real estate that you don't want to live in the rest of your life. Definitely get out of speculative. You know, you bought, you know, my home's doing so well, I'm going to buy a second one, rent it out, buy a third one, rent it out, you know, borrow against my home equity, you know, and hell, buy an office building, rent it out. Can't go wrong buying this stuff. No, that is going to... You can go wrong buying real estate. We live in unique times, and those unique times are over. I've always said that the middle classing of Europe and the U.S. only after World War II, first generation to grow up, I mean, enter the workforce, middle class with affordable mortgage loans. That was a one-time hit, huge. And then the baby boomers were hit number two. Huge generation follows that with even better mortgage lending and lower rates and stuff. Bam, none of those two. That is no, those two trends are not going to repeat. And we're all aging now, except for Australia. And your aging will start to set in if you don't continue to track these Asian immigrants. And how are you going to track them? You're going to track them more if your real estate becomes affordable. That's the only reason. If I was a Chinese or Vietnamese or Thai or Indonesian or Indian, I was looking to move somewhere, I wouldn't move all the way. I would move to Australia, except your damn real estate. That would be the biggest reason not to. I would live in Australia if I could run my business from there, which I can't. I would literally choose to live in Australia over the United States. And I like the United States. It's a great place for me, tax-wise, business-wise. But I like the quality of life and the people and the weather. Everything better in Australia. The only reason for me not to live there would be higher taxes and higher real estate costs. So real estate's going to be good. You just got to get out. I'm just telling people, if you get out of the way of it, it's going to be good for your country. And it's going to be extra good for your children and grandkids that real estate comes down to maybe just 4 or 5 times income instead of 8, 10, 11, 12, when really 3 is more normal.
Yeah, and that's the point, Harry, isn't it? You know, if you take a strategic view, actually it will benefit Australia if we do get those corrections.
Absolutely.
And if we bring real estate back to a more normal level, because currently affordability is just stupid and it's killing the rest of the economy. It's sucking the air out of the rest of the economy. So getting a more balanced economic mix going ahead, and that will actually support the economy in the future. So it's a fall I think we have to have. Unfortunately, it's going to hurt people on the way down, though.
That's right. It's going to hurt. A deleveraging always hurts, particularly people who own financial assets. 29. I mean, it wasn't real estate only went down 26% in the United States because we had a real estate bull market, but not a bubble. Because back then, mortgage loans were 50% down in a 5-year balloon mortgage. So try speculating on that, okay? No zero down or 3% down in 30 years and all this sort of stuff and all these teaser rates and, you know, variable and fixed, you know, all this sort of stuff. So that was a different era. Stocks were the big bubble and farms. Farms were growing since World War I to feed the rest of the world, and they were leveraging up, and it was farms that were failing and farms and farm real estate that was failing, not residential. So that was unique. This time, man, real estate globally is a big part of this bubble. Stocks, obviously, stocks always bubble. That's a given in a time like this. But real estate has bubbled almost everywhere. And when real estate collapses, the problem with real estate, stocks, people get over that shock quickly because traders may leverage to buy stocks, but hey, they're traders and they all go under. We don't care. People borrow money to buy real estate. Businesses borrow money to buy real estate most of the time. So a 20% downturn in real estate is like a 50% or 60% downturn in stocks because of the debt and the mortgage behind that leverages it. If you've got 20% equity, you know, if you put 20% in your home and it goes down 20%, you now have no equity. You've lost 100% of your equity. Imagine if you were only 20% equity and it goes down 40 to 50%, which I think in the most overpriced cities, and I know you think that, that certainly is going to happen some places, and you're 20, 30% under. Well, I can tell you what it's like because we went through that in the U.S. People underwater mortgages more than any time in history, more probably than the Great Depression, because it wasn't such a real estate bubble. So this is serious stuff. And the debt behind real estate makes both the impact on people who own real estate greater than it seems, but it also makes it greater on the banking system and the economy. The Australian banks are not going to get in trouble when stocks crash much, except where they're speculating. They're going to be in big trouble if real estate in Australia even goes down 20 or 30%. They're going to be hurting, and I think it's going to be 30 to 50 in that range, depending on high-end, low-end city. Obviously, Melbourne and Sydney bubble the most, and then Brisbane, and then Adelaide. Perth, maybe originally, but Perth has already backed off because the commodity crashed. So there's a whole degradation. I could see Perth going down 20-ish, Adelaide 30-ish, you know, Brisbane 40-ish, and up to 50-ish in Sydney and Melbourne. Well, I'm telling you, that is going to be a shock. That'll probably be the biggest shock Australia's had, because didn't you just have a mild recession in the early 90s?
Well, it was pretty serious at the time, but relative to what we are now, where we're facing now, nothing. I think this is going to be a once in a generation, Harry. So, look, it's great to catch up with you again. And just to reemphasize, we'll put the links below to the seminar in just over a week. You'll be on, Robert will be on, I'll be on, Sean will be on.
I'm going to kick it off, and I'm going to be on at the end with a Q&A with you. I think that Q&A probably be the highlight, because we do conferences like this in the U.S. and I always have three key people, me and two other key experts, and our Q&A at the end is always the killer. So it's harrydentlive.com to register. It's free. At least I know the first people to register up to a certain amount are free. It's free, and there's going to be a lot of content in one day. And hey, it's the best we can do. I would have loved to have done this live over 2 days. It's more fun. It's more jet lag for me, but it's even more fun for me. I love going to Australia, but this is really timely. And I, again, between you, me, Robert, and Sean Allison, I don't know a better line of experts. I mean, I'd bring in Richard Branson, but be a billionaire like me. That's not going to help you. Okay, this is what's going to help you at this time. We picked these people on purpose. So I hope to see everybody online, and I can't wait to do the Q&A with you. That'll be the most fun.
I'm looking forward to it, Harry. The questions are often very, very sharp, and you have to think on your feet, but it's great, and good interaction. Appreciate your time today. We'll see you next week. And as I say, we'll put all the details below, and take care.
Okay. Thanks, Martin.
Thanks, Harry.